Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
This is now the second time in the Trinity season that we have heard our Lord's words, "You cannot serve God and money." It was the ninth Sunday after Trinity, and the context was the parable of the dishonest manager. The evangelist Matthew has placed these words within our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and he placed them strategically before Jesus' exhortation not to be anxious about earthly things. Luke, however, places them at the end of the parable of the dishonest manager. Our lives are often consumed by care. Remember that pyramid of human needs, psychological, physical, physiological things like air, water, food, sleep? Jesus presupposes that we care about our physical needs. And so he restates the three main questions human beings have: what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? I'm certain that we creatures of the 21st century may find these questions unserious. What shall we eat? For many of us, that means a trip to the freezer to see what's to be defrosted. Or perhaps a trip to the overstocked pantry. Or perhaps it comes down to, where shall we go for dinner tonight? What are you in the mood for? Mexican, Italian, pub grub, DoorDash? So many choices. It's quite different from the widow at Zarephath, who was down to her last handful of flour and flask of oil. What shall we drink? Oh, will it be a Cabernet or a Chardonnay with dinner? Water is good. Uncap some of that good stuff from France. Or just open a bottle of water from Costco. Or turn on the tap at the sink. We aren't dying of thirst. What shall we wear? Choices, choices, choices. Time to clean out that closet and get rid of those clothes that we haven't worn in over a year. Closets used to be rather small half a century ago. Now we demand that we be able to walk in and walk around. And so it's all very absurd to us in a land of plenty, this envy of all the rest of the world. Not so the world of Jesus' day, or even those who live in third world nations. In spite of the rampant homelessness in our larger cities, virtually none of them are dying from starvation. Drug abuse and other conditions claim many, if not most of them. Most of our worry centers on worldly attachments. And our Lord strikes at the heart of our sin. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. To serve a master is to give undivided allegiance. It's first commandment stuff. God alone. No one, no thing else. It is, as Luther teaches us in the small catechism, to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. To be devoted to one and to despise the other, or to consider of little value, speaks about what we worship more than anything else. Not all worship happens in a sanctuary. What you consider most important is what you worship. That is your God, And all of that is summarized in that word, mammonas, mammon, the transliteration of the Greek text. One cannot worship God and material things at the same time. One cannot have both. One cannot have two gods. Therefore, Jesus says here, it's causal. It lays out the rationale for what he says next. If one has the true God, then one has no reason to worry, to be anxious about one's life, because God will provide for all of the necessary things of life. Our sin is that we worry about these things that are attached to our lives. They get between us and God, and hence our worship goes amok. Few of us worry about our next meal, our clothing, or even our next drink of water. So how do we put ourselves into this picture? We have anxieties aplenty. I call them the what-ifs. We want to look into the future and see if events and conditions will be favorable to us. How will our lives be? Will I have a job? Will a robot take over my job? There's so much talk about AI these days. People fear the data centers more than they fear nuclear annihilation. The Germans have a word for that, and you may know it for the what-ifs. It's Angst, deep anxiety or dread. Angst, not angst, it's Angst. While Lutherans never included the apocryphal books in the canon of Holy Scripture, there are many worthwhile things in them. Luther said that we should indeed read them, but not as the infallible Word of God. In one of those books, the Wisdom of Sirach, sometimes called Ecclesiasticus, not to be confused with the canonical Ecclesiastes, there is an interesting what if. It's about a father. But before that, Sirach advises, anxiety brings on premature age. Anxiety makes us age faster. And it's obvious in those photos taken just 5 years ago. Anxiety robs us of sleep, which God intends to refresh us. And so we come now to this passage about a father who worries about his daughter. Sirach says, a daughter is a secret anxiety to her father, and worry over her robs him of sleep. When she is young, for fear that she may not marry, or if married, for fear that she may be disliked, while a virgin, for fear she may be seduced and become pregnant in her father's house, or having a husband, for fear she may go astray, or though married, for fear that she may be barren. This Jewish father worries. He has a whole list of what ifs, and everything that enters his mind causes him anxiety, which robs him of sleep. Parents know how this is. Our anxieties often overwhelm us. So we Americans have trouble sleeping. Judging from the endless TV ads for mattresses and pillows, for pills and fragrances, for white noise, pink noise, brown noise, green noise, and whatever color noise I've missed. I didn't know that sounds had color. We would do well to listen to Solomon in Psalm 127. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Three times in this reading, Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, your clothing, your food, what you will wear. These are all imperatives and could be understood as law, but they are also gospel. For you are worth more than anything else on this earth. You belong to God because Christ Jesus has redeemed you, body and soul. Body and soul. Therefore, Jesus says, you can stop worrying. It's unnecessary. It merely makes your life more miserable. The sin of Adam and Eve brought about a fallen creation. And this means that natural disasters, wars, diseases, and other evidences that this creation is winding down are going to be before us. And yet our Heavenly Father has not ceded control of it to any other. It is not spinning out of control, and mankind certainly is not able to wrest it away from God, try as he may. That fact should comfort us and not make us afraid as so many henny pennies in the children's storybook who shouted, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." All things remain firmly in the hand of our Heavenly Father, in spite of what many experts blather. Throughout this reading, Jesus underscores the role of your Heavenly Father in managing all things for your good. Now, perhaps you're already thinking silently, "Well, that's easier said than done." Of course. Who would care to dispute that? Anxieties simply do not disappear. They keep coming back over and over again. You and I are assaulted by them constantly, and Satan attacks us every day with those thoughts which creep into our brains, these thoughts of doubt and unbelief. We're like that father in Sirach. We ask, "What if?" So our Lord Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Our final good is the kingdom of God, which he has prepared for us through Christ. And we are to aim and fix our sights on Christ, so that we do not lose sight of this ultimate good. Christ tells us not to be anxious. Don't be distracted. He holds everything in his hands. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the created order and see that it doesn't worry about today or tomorrow, but simply continues at God's command. I live on a road called Birdview Road. It's aptly named. I have uncounted sparrows. I also have some yellow finches, cardinals, blue jays, and other birds I don't know. Someone asked if I fed the birds, and I said, "No, I don't." And she asked, "Well, why don't you feed the birds?" I said, "That's God's job. God will feed them. He always has, and he always will." So your loving Heavenly Father knows what you need, and he has promised to provide it. And if he does it for the birds, he'll do it for you. Listen to Jesus here. "Are you not of more value than they?" And to our shame, we know the answer. So let God be God, and he will bring about a joyful end to all our worries and anxieties when our lives are over and we are with him in glory. By praying, we commend all our worries, our anxieties, our what-ifs into the hands of a faithful God who has never lied and never can. then look to the cross of Christ and see there God's righteousness given to you as a gift, his forgiveness for your sin of worry. Then look to Christ's empty tomb. Christ is risen from the dead. His resurrection proves that he has won the victory over sin, death, and hell. His victory over our worries. You are an heir of heaven. You belong to the Father in heaven. No sheep of Christ can be torn from his hand. So believe what the Holy Spirit speaks in Scripture. Paul Gerhardt says it well in his hymn, "Entrust your days and burdens to God's most loving hand." And I'll quote this verse, the first. "He cares for you while ruling the sky, the sea, the land, for he who guides the tempests along their thunderous ways will find for you a pathway and guide you all your days." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Please stand as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds.